Welcome to the Triple Takeover Toycast, a fortnightly podcast all about Transformers and occasionally other vintage toy lines as well. Tonight we're talking Missing Link, because it's just about the most exciting thing to happen to Transformers in the last 40 years or so. My name is 6-0, but more on that later, because with me, as ever, are my two gorgeous co-hosts. Now, before I introduce them, I do want to point out that there was some discussion about who was going to do the intro for you tonight. And not to throw anybody under the bus, but someone else had volunteered for it and then at the last minute described me as a safe pair of hands. So being as how I am apparently head of intros, I shall refer you now to head of cheekiness. It's Liam from Toybox Soapbox.
I knew you were going to bring that up. I knew you were going to hold on to that. I saw your face when I said it. Yeah. And I thought, oh, it's coming back, isn't it?
Yep. Coming home to roost. No what ho this evening?
Well, you know, we're kind of already here. I was going to say like a what Optimus Prime?
Yeah. Oh, very nice.
What, home and indeed. Roll out.
Like that. Oh, yeah, there we go.
Cool,
yeah.
cool. Nice. Yeah. 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 Got to roll with it.
What hoes are the right of all sentient beings?
That sounds a bit wrong, actually.
It did a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah. Kinda, it took me a minute. I was like, okay.
The rap record version of Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
I think when you listen back to this, Liam, that might sound a little bit different than you intended it to in your head. So, not that you listen back to them, but...
Actually, now I get it. I'm there. I'm on board.
Yeah, you've heard it now. Yep, okay. Replayed it in your brain. Yeah. Excellent. Okay. And yeah, joining head of intros and head of hilarity or whatever Liam is, I don't know, we've also got head of vibes.
You did describe yourself
as here for the vibes.
Bringing
Jason.
The vibes. That's it. That's me. That's why I'm here. And head of mispronunciation as well. Right. Just mispronunciate Mr. Pronunciation. I don't know. Yeah.
We should call you Jason, the ace of pronunciation.
Oh, that's too nice.
That's
pretty good,
there
actually.
Go.
Yeah, I quite like that.
I can't even say it now. Yeah.
Jason Pronunciation.
It was meant to be, wasn't it?
Oh man, every time you do it, Jason, we can call it a pronunci Jason.
A pronunci Jason. Oh, it takes me back to when I was doing at school when I was in maths class and I'd be half asleep and then the teacher would just be talking and they'd say adjacent and I'd be like, what? Is that me? Oh no, it's okay. So yeah, it's fine. That'll keep me right. Good idea.
Excellent. So we're all up for talking about I nearly called it Masterpiece Convoy then. Can you believe that? Missing Link Convoy. It is a masterpiece. It's a little M masterpiece. Not an official title masterpiece, but it is a masterpiece. Spoiler alert. But we're all up for talking about this thing tonight?
Yes,
very much.
Definitely.
Yeah, been looking forward to
this. We've
been
meeting this for ages, haven't we?
So. We have. I was chuckling earlier because on our Discord, I posted something because we've got episode 76, the last episode that we did, going live for our patrons. And imminently, and I posted something saying that I was really excited about them all listening to it because I think it's really good. And maybe you've heard it by now, maybe you haven't. If you haven't heard it, you should go and listen to it. It was the quiz episode that we did. And one of our patrons, Joshels, came back almost immediately saying, oh, I reckon what, because we haven't told them what it is. And he came back almost immediately saying, I reckon what it is you've done a mini-sode on Missing Link Convoy, and you've realized that you can't keep it to typical minisode length, and you've turned it into an episode.
I
was like, ooh. You're kind of half right. Like, we're recording it in about an hour, so
I know, totally. It was good. Yeah, it's like they know us too well, but slightly off. Yeah, so
yeah,
damn pesky Josh.
Yeah,
I know.
He sees right through us, but we did. Start this as the idea was to do a mini-sode, wasn't it? We were going to do it as a Patreon exclusive thing, and then we realized that there's far too much to say about this thing, and we needed to make it a main episode.
There was also a time thing. There was a time related thing to this as well, though, in the fact that it's such a popular release that getting our hands on this, there was a bit of a waiting game for me and Liam to get our ones of these as well. So, because we'd originally planned this a while back, didn't we? Maybe. Was it a couple of weeks ago this came out?
It was, I think it was like 3 weeks ago or something. Two weeks?
Yeah. Feels like ages.
It was set to go, wasn't it? We were already in prep for it, except for the fact we didn't have the bloody toys. We were just like, oh, they'll be here. They've been dispatched now. They'll be here. And then they were not. And we were like, oh.
Yeah. We missed the window, didn't we? A little bit.
Totally. I'm chasing the guys up at Omega Lock. To their credit, they sent it. So happy days. But yeah.
But we knew this was the thing. We were always going to do it as a mini-sode. But when we were talking about it a week, I was just looking at it going, there's no way we keep this to 30 minutes to 45 minutes. This goes over an hour. Easy. Or up to an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be a full episode.
Yeah. Well, we'll see where we get to with it tonight. I mean, it's a lovely thing. I'm looking at it right now and I'm still in awe of it, honestly. So, but we will come to all of that. In the meantime, I should mention that we do have a sponsor for the evening. That is tfsource.com. do check them out for all your Transformers and third-party needs, and we'll do a longer segment on them in the middle of the pod a little bit later on. And we do also have a Patreon as well, and maybe you already mentioned the Patreon, I don't know. But we'll come back and do a longer segment on that towards the end. We do have some new patrons, so we're going to pay a little shout-out to, and we do have some Patreon questions as well, don't we, Jason?
We do. Three of those, all primed and ready. Ha-ha!
Primed, nice. Okay, wow. Rolling them out now. The jokes.
Well done, Jason. Well
thanks.
Done.
Thanks. That was an accident. I'll be honest. That was
optimal. That's what we don't pay you for, so that's good.
Very good. Head of vibes there, working his magic, sprinkling it in,
bringing it real, bringing it real. What does that even mean?
I don't even know, mate. Yeah, I don't know what that was. Excellent. Well, yeah, we do have a Patreon, and if you like what you're hearing right now, you can get a lot more of that on there. As I say, I'll come back and talk about it all later, but you want to get on there for our Discord, for the exclusive content that you can get, mini-sodes, mini-series, all kinds of good stuff. So definitely do check that out as well. So, missing link then.
Yeah, well, where do we start? Let's be honest.
Yeah, where exactly.
It's like genuinely, because there is...
Left us all speechless.
It really did. It really did.
So I'm looking at it now, and I'm noticing more and more and more on this figure as we go through. Should we maybe start with a bit of context as well for this figure? Because
What, for people that don't know what it is?
Yeah.
It's probably worth discussing first before we actually kick off, So what was Missing Link? Because we talked about this in a mini-sode, which you should check out, because this was me and Matt, wasn't it?
It was a full episode.
Oh, wow, so we've come back to...
We've done another episode on it. Yeah, why not? Two episodes. Well, the previous episode, it's worth clarifying, was
speculation, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It was the thing had literally just dropped. There were blurry, very blurry... pictures, not even officially released, I don't think, at that
stage. They were the next day. Do you remember the pictures? Yeah. We joked about it, and then it actually happened. The photos dropped the very next morning.
It was hilarious. And we were desperate to get something. I remember it was you, me, and Masley, and we were desperate to get it recorded. And because we were heading off towards TF Nation, I think, as well. So we were recording a little bit because we had a break for TFN. We were recording a little bit out of where we were going to be.
Stuff?
I don't know, man. How can you remember what you were wearing on the summer of 1988 when you bought a specific toy? Do you know what I mean?
Was that when we had the... is that the Ninja Turtles t-shirt, or was that the Lego jumper with the little Lego man? I had the space Lego man that you could stick on it.
Yeah, you just had two t-shirts, that's all. It's either one or the other.
Just 50-50, really.
Yeah, exactly. It's guesswork.
Yeah. But no, it was. We did that episode, and it was just like a straightforward reaction, basically. And we said in that episode... this is pure speculation on our part. Here's some things that we think it could be or not be, and maybe it's this. And the Megatron image was doing the rounds that obviously turned out to be bogus. I think most people had guessed that it was bogus.
Broke my heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, you know, maybe there will be one. We can talk a bit about that as well. So tonight is more about, we've got the thing in hand. We know the toy intimately now, and you know, what's it like, basically. So that's and where does it go next? You know, what's kind of around the corner?
Just to set the stage, if you don't know what this toy is, where have you been?
Yeah.
What rock have you been under?
Yeah, it's true.
Well, for the benefit of my parents, who I might make listen to this, you know, it's a more posable prime. That's what we can call it.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the version.
For your parents?
Yeah, posable prime for your parents. That's how they, the car is.
Are your parents listening, Jason?
Sometimes when I make them, you know, that's it.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
he sits them down, both of them together, and he just stares at them like really intensely whilst they're listening, like just to gauge their reaction.
Passive aggressively pouring tea.
Like, yeah, exactly. They sit there all uncomfortable, like,
I'll leave this tea bag in too long if you don't smile. Enjoy it.
So yeah, it basically is. It's the toy that many of us grew up with, whether that was in 1984 or subsequently, you know, whatever age you grew up with. Maybe you had this toy, or maybe you didn't. I don't know. But many people will be familiar with the classic Diaclone Battle Convoy that became G1 Optimus Prime, released in 1984 and various other years as well. And you know, it's been reissued, that toy, many times over by both Hasbro and Takara. And what they've done is the same as, I mean, Liam, you always say it's a bit like Masters of the Universe Origins. Is it Origins?
It is Origins. Yeah,
it is Origins, isn't it?
All toy lines are doing that now. And it's amazing because when Masters of the Universe did it first, I remember looking at it going, oh, they're all going to start doing this. And we've always said, like, so many of us have been like, man, imagine if they did Transformers, but the vintage toys of articulation and stuff. And so when they did it to Master Universe, it was like, finally, this is exactly what people want. And then now you're getting it with Turtles. This is Transformers. There are flipping, I think, Street Sharks, all sorts of stuff coming back. Like, they're bringing back old toys with articulation.
Boglins.
Man, do that. They were hyper-articulated to start with.
Yeah, I was going to say, they don't really need it, did they?
It's wild that these toys that are such an important part of our childhood and that are so iconic to us, they are now catching up to the point where they're moving beyond being new versions that deliver all the stuff you didn't have to being the old versions that deliver the memory that your imagination has sort of created for some of these toys. Like a lot of people, like we always talk about the person who comes around and sees like a Masterpiece Optimus Prime, and they'll be like, oh, I had that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That's not the toy you had, but I kind of get why you've gone there. And this kind of feels like it delivers on being that toy, and that kind of feels like the ethos of it, you know?
Yeah, it's the sort of ultimate version of that in a way, isn't it? It's the toy that you sort of remember in your mind's eye and your imagination. It was what your classic Optimus Prime could always do in terms of articulation. You know, it's got knees, it's got elbows, it's got... I mean, it's got an ab crunch, which is just
which scares
still
me.
Makes me laugh.
Still a bit.
It scares me as well, but it's good. It's in
there.
It's
strange, man. Like, because you're saying that, like, the knees and elbows, it's like the old one had knees and elbows.
That's true.
But, like, when you think of it like this, like the knees and elbows, there's something different, even though they're basically the same, but it's like the way they work the articulation. We'll talk about this. It's suddenly like it feels like the new articulation, if you know what I mean, because the way it works in tandem with the other parts, and it's just this kind of crazy world we live in now where we're so well served for stuff. We're actually getting the toys that we imagined in our head as kids. And it's kind of crazy. And I'm all for it because the turtles look great. I don't know if you experienced any of the Motu Origin stuff.
No, I haven't.
I've got some of it. I've got the Grayskull up on the shelf and stuff. And it's been fantastic to see. It's been so well done.
Massive, isn't it, that Grayskull?
Yeah, and it's what you think the toy was when you were a kid. But it's not. It's like I had it as a kid. And it's so similar, but slightly different, a bit like this. This Optimus Prime is a bit closer to the vintage toy than the Motu stuff is. Like the Motu stuff looks like the toys you remember until you put them side by side and go, oh, actually, they've changed stuff. They're slightly different size and things like that. But they're all fantastic toys. They're really good.
And the turtles look like they've got a few differences as well. I mean, again, it's quite a blurry image that we've seen of those
classic
turtles.
People are already moaning about the skin.
Yeah, the skin looks a little bit different. They've changed the color of the weapons, things like that. It's little differences. Whereas this Prime or Convoy, it's Japanese, so Convoy, is basically identical to the original, but just with more joints. And you can tell side by side that it's different. You can. But looking at it now, I mean, you pose it stoically just in this sort of classic, the classic pose, which I seem to be doing all the time, even though this thing's got all the articulation under the sun.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Just
it's on the shelf.
I'm straight out, and it's so
it just
funny,
looks like the thing
it?
I always so had, true. Honestly. But you know,
that's the thing, isn't it? Like all these hyper posing toys we buy, and like when you see pictures of it, you see people complaining straight away. They're like, "Oh, it doesn't have wrist swivels, or it doesn't have 90 knee joints and stuff, and it can't do this hyper articulated stuff." And like, as soon as you get it, you're just sticking it on a shelf, stood straight up anyway. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly.
Never use it.
I know. So true.
So I've got my vintage Prime on the table here, and both missing links either side of it, and it is astonishing how similar they are. Like the new one, it feels slightly bigger and is more dynamic, but that's just because obviously you stand him slightly different because you can.
Yeah. So having, looked almost to the millimeter next to each other, I mean, the size difference is almost imperceptible. I do think the new one is maybe, I would say, like 2 millimeters taller or something. Do you know what I mean? Mm. But I think it's just in the sort of lower part of the hips, just to account for some of the articulation, if anything. But I mean, it's negligible. This one obviously has, where the old one has decals, stickers, this one has molded details, things like that. But in terms of evoking the feel of that original toy, it's bob on, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's so those molded details, I'm just like looking at it right now. The details that they put into the faceplate, the eyes, to replace the stickers, just all those little details are really nice. You don't have pegging fists anymore as well. But, it's kind of funny, isn't it? Because he is truly a robot in disguise now, because he can just stand next to the original.
That's true.
And just look the same, if you want.
Yeah.
I find, like, my first impression when I took this out of the box, I don't know for you guys, but I was just back to Christmas,
yeah,
1984, opening my original G1 Prime. It was like the nostalgia was real. It was like, it was so, just gave me goosebumps immediately. And that's pretty impressive that they captured that. They didn't change it so far from that. The fact they kept the packaging, because I'm a sucker for packaging, as you guys know, but that whole experience of just taking it out of the box and things as well, because they could have gone too far. You know, in a funny way. And
I think so. I did a video on this, and I had quite a lot of comments about it. 98% of which were uniformly positive about the toy and whatever else. And I respect the other opinions. There was one though that caught my eye, which was really funny, because it was someone saying, you know, I wish they'd closed up the gap on the back. You know, when you turn it round, that they'd sort of, because he does have a hole in his back, and the classic toy, you can see straight through it, basically, straight through the windshield.
Yeah,
exactly. You put the fist in there. Mm. This new one does have a little sort of matrix chamber, which is detachable, so you can take it out and have it look exactly like the old toy, or you can put the matrix chamber in and it blocks the gap. But still, from the rear, you've got a little hole, basically.
Great solution.
It's a really clever solution. Yeah. But I thought it was funny that this person was like, oh, they should have redesigned the back to make it look more solid, as it were, more blocked off. And
goes against it.
Well, this is it for me. I understand where they're coming from, and I'm sympathetic to that, because I guess if you're coming into this cold with zero nostalgia for the original, and you're just looking at this purely as like a new design, you know, or a new toy, as it were, and thinking, what should it have? What should it do? Then, I can understand why you would think that. From my perspective, I'm so happy that they did not do that. Like, it would have ruined it for me.
I'm 100% with you, because I think that's kind of leaning more to what Masterpiece is, isn't it? It's taking the original design and improving every part of it to make something different and new that kind of fills those gaps.
You have those toys already.
Yeah. That more realizes the character rather than the toy. Whereas this is just taking the original toy and just redoing it, but giving you that toy, but with all that extra articulation that you've always wanted on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because let's be honest, still doesn't have a proper neck.
No, can't look up and down,
You know, the up and down is still the same. You have to do that trick and then the flap, take it from a kind of worm's eye view up so it looks all right. But if you started blocking in that back section, you wouldn't be able to do that. And it just would, it would just add more to the complexity. Again, you know, like the transformation. Yeah, I looked at the instructions because...
I did as well.
Didn't want to break it. I didn't need to.
Did you?
Yeah.
That was your video.
I'm glad that I did look at the instructions, you know, because I would have just pulled the legs down in the sort of way that I expect it to move, you know, based on however many years of experience with the classic toy. Because that movement for me, the classic legs, the way they spring out to the side slightly is so familiar to me in terms of tactile.
Yeah, they're ratcheted. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, just that tactile motion. And this is different because you have to sort of separate the legs slightly to then pull them down because there's a little and kind of catch.
Bring his tires out as well.
So there are differences. It's not I would say the tactile feel of it is not one-to-one,
no,
but that's not a problem necessarily, but it is a little bit different. So I was glad to look at the instructions just for fear of breaking it more than anything.
That's exactly why I did as well. It's funny you mentioned that click click click. It's so reminiscent of him swinging his legs around and stuff like that. But what that does for the toy though, and as we said, for just the posability, just having those little kind of hip flaps for those tires on the side, and then just being able to give him a kind of wider stance.
Oh, yeah.
I immediately started playing with it in that as soon as I'd got him into robot mode.
Same.
You know,
I couldn't put it down.
Earlier on, Sixo, you said that this really evokes the vintage toy for you, and that's what you see. And it's funny because when I look at it, like, I see the vintage toy, but for me, the vintage toy is so that straight thing.
Yeah.
And what it actually evokes, more than that, is the art of the original toy. So like, the Diaclone poster, do you remember that? When it's got all the cars coming down and flying. And then the box art. And to me, when I look at this, that's what I see more than the toy.
Mm.
It's the shapes. There's something about it. Like suddenly the ability to spread his legs a little bit wider and to pivot his arms up slightly. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I just see that poster and that art rather than the toy.
You're bang on, actually. Yeah, because you did get a lot of art in those days that was quite faithful to the toys, but had them moving in poses that just could never actually be done.
So I
totally see that. So I think in terms of redesigning this thing, my thought would be, well, where do you end it? You know, if you're going to close off the back, for example, like you said, Jason, you know, would you also articulate the head to be able to look up and down, for example?
Yeah.
You know, or would you also then redesign it so that, I don't know, so that the tires can flip away to be more cartoon accurate? Yeah. Or, yeah, there's various things that people might want, you know, or whatever else. But at some point...
they've been very restrained.
Yeah, exactly. At some point, you go too far down that line and you realize that you've just made Earthrise Optimus Prime, you know?
It's like exactly, you, yeah.
That toy already exists.
It's a different ask, isn't it?
Do you think they probably had this issue when they were designing it? Like, they kept adding things every now and again, but then they would stop and look at it and probably go, actually, that takes us away and off the path. Because I was like looking at the wheels on the side and the way they pop out, it's like, that matches the toy. But I wonder if at some point during the design, there was some temptation to maybe move them to the back. Because looking at it, the only thing I can think of that's definitively they've added outside of articulation and some little tiny things is they filled in the front bumper. That's like the only detail.
Yeah. That's the change.
Like I can really know where they've, like you said about the back and people saying that, like the only thing I could count that with is they've actually done that for the bumper, and it's a kind of really odd small thing to change.
That and the other big thing I would say that is very different is the headlights in the cab mode.
Oh yeah.
Because you don't have the fist holes. Original, obviously, you have to plug the fist in, as you said, Jason, but this you don't. So that is a big tell for me. In some way, I might have almost preferred it if they just kept the peg holes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
To have it look the same, but...
Totally. Hey, yeah, they've got a double headlight, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know, I think it's one of those things, Liam, that I would not be surprised that they had a version of this that went way further, like multiple versions of it that went way further. But if you look at it, you know, it's the silhouette. If you look at the silhouette of this figure, it's very much your G1 Prime toy, you know, face on. And I wonder if that, purely from an aesthetic point of view, is what they, like, that's what we need to keep. That's what we need to capture. Because that's what is so, like you said about the artwork and stuff. And it was the artwork. When I saw the promotional stuff for this Missing Link toy and them recreating that kind of pose of Prime that we could never do with the original toy from the box art.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was sold immediately. That was just absolutely amazing. And it wasn't even that complicated of a shot either, you know, of a pose, sorry, that they were doing as well. But I could see them where they made those decisions like, let's mold bits, let's not have stickers. But then there are stickers, obviously, as well for the trailer and stuff like that, which we can get to later. But those just little, the fact that we can now manufacture plastic pieces with just that more detail. And that's hard. You know, that's hard to know when to stop. And when
I think so, yeah. It's a refinement in a way, but there's almost an art in, as you said, knowing when to draw the line under it all as well, and knowing when enough is enough. We know that the team at Takara can do incredible things by now. You know, we've seen it many, many times. I mean, and you've only got to look at, you know, Jason, you just got MP44S, the masterpiece, the latest masterpiece convoy in hand, and you've transformed it, right?
Not yet. You know what I'm like. I take all my, you know, I'm not a chance yet. But it does have the...
It'll take you that long, to be fair. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, I did work. I did work.
It's just the legs.
All the panels. It does have the cartoon head, though, as well. The little chubby round head. Yeah. It's cool. Yeah, it's really cool. But yeah, you know, it was funny because I had both these... put this Missing Link Prime into alt mode next to that MP44S as well. And they just sit so beautifully next to each other. It was really
nice. Absolutely hilarious that in the same day... You got you didn't get the anime version of this, did you? But you're going to get it.
No, so I didn't. No, not that one.
So you're going to end up with a toy-styled anime version of Optimus Prime and a cartoon-styled anime version of Optimus Prime. Yeah. It's just what's happening here? Do you know what I mean?
I know. Yeah. They got my number.
It's just a weird crossover kind of thing.
Totally.
I don't know.
Yeah. Did you know one thing that I missed? I don't know about you guys, but I was so kind of like... enamored by this guy when I opened it and was like just playing with it and just went into default put gun into peg
at an angle.
Yeah exactly, don't damage
slight
the
angle.
Yeah exactly,
yeah. Well, you gotta it's the way the original couldn't hold his gun properly, isn't it? And then obviously this one can, but look, I mean I've got mine.
You've
here
still done
you
it
can see.
That's so
perpetually an angle, just because it looks right to me, just to have it slightly tilted, you know.
That's so good.
Slight angle.
The bit that I missed, though, when I opened this was the knuckle that he's got opening and closing.
Oh, yeah.
Fist. And I just didn't even expect it. I just was like, he's always got closed hands, you know. And one of my G1 primes is the inflated gun fat version of it all as well. So
it
looks very odd.
I would imagine that the fists was probably... a conversation. Like, talking about your point about where do you end it, you know, or how much do you do as well, you know, to differentiate. Mm. Maybe this thing started, you know, with a conversation around should it just be a direct recreation almost. I mean, I know they've done like a billion reissues of the original, but like I can imagine somewhere that there must have been, maybe not this mold specifically, Convoy, because they have just reissued it not so long ago. Hasbro reissue, admittedly, but still, you know, Takara reissued it many times as well. Maybe there was a conversation around should we remake old G1 toys, you know, so some of the ones that we've lost or whatever else. I'm just speculating now, I don't know. And maybe that morphed into this, but, or maybe they just started with this. But, you know, things like the fists articulating versus popping off, I bet that was a conversation at some point, you know, and some people will have been in favor of keeping the pop-off fists.
Individual digits or the one index finger, all that stuff. They, you know, it would be so interesting to talk to the design team behind this and find out how far they went.
Yeah, how far they were tempted to, like, Gundam it, you know, the proper different expressive super hands and things like that. Like,
exactly.
I'm curious if they ever considered, like, because they've got the opening hand now, but whether they considered having that, but also letting you remove it just for the sake of it.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, for nostalgia. Yeah.
As well as it being this hand now, because it folds out. Yeah. And you could still have it so it stays in and folds out, but the option to unplug it for those of us who are old.
Part of me does kind of wish that you could unplug it. I know that's, like, so silly, but it's just nostalgia, you know? It's like,
it's the one part of this toy that kind of feels a little bit alien. It's like, joints and stuff, you're like, they feel natural to a point, and they kind of feel like they were always should have been there. But there's something about the hands, it's the one part of the toy that actually feels so different, because it is. And it's normally like, this doesn't feel, I like it, but I still can't tell if I think it feels right.
Isn't that because that, you know, the fists were such a famous part of the Optimus Prime mold, because we all talk about where we stored them, and you know, you lose everything, but the fists are one thing that quite often don't get lost because they were stored in the cab.
You can't have the old 6-0 butler fists.
I was just gonna say I can't butler him. He can't be the butler.
Oh yeah.
Can't put the little white gloves on him from Magnus, you know.
It's the one part of the toy that is a drastic change, like, really, other than the lack of the mechanism in the trailer for Fire and Roller.
That's
inside the trailer, and that's not the silhouette of the figure. That's not, when people think of the Optimus Prime toy robot, this is what you think of. And it is such a, it's just strange, but it's good, but it's also strange. It's just, it's
very,
like,
strange,
alien,
very, very strange.
You're so used to it as well. It's such an iconic part of the toy.
So one thing I was going to mention, you just said the trailer there, Liam, as well. So they've removed that mechanism.
Yes.
But you can now disconnect the turret and repair bay, which I've not done yet, because I was a bit nervous about that. Have either of you? Is it stressful?
I tried to do it early and couldn't do it. And then
physical force is required.
Happy knowing you can.
Right, okay. I don't think I'll go there.
Get ready. It's fun. It's great fun. And I love doing it, because actually I popped a little classic Diaclone driver and a new Diaclone driver in there. I have some of the original Dinauts hanging around as well. And I popped them in there. And that's great fun, just to kind of whiz them around.
That's cool.
And that. So
if you, when you disconnect it, is it, it's just like a little, you can move it around. It's not wheeled, is it? Is it wheeled?
It's got wheels on the bottom. Yeah, it's got little wheels on the bottom.
That's cool. Yeah.
It's got little wheels. So, which also you'll get to know MP44 does as well. Does the same thing.
Oh, really?
That one time in the cartoon.
yeah.
I can't remember anybody really asking for that, even until they did it in the Masterpiece. And like, now it's everywhere. Like, every third party one does it.
Yeah, it's like, very Diaclone reboot in its way. Like, when I saw the copy with MP44, I was like, man, they have learned so much from Diaclone reboot in terms of the functionality, you know, the kind of cross play pattern, that kind of stuff. And it's interesting to see it incorporated here in what is a very retro design, you know. But to me, it works. I mean, it's it adds a little something. But yeah, it's stressful getting it out of the combat deck, certainly.
Yeah.
Do you think there are any changes that either of you would have liked to have seen that they haven't implemented? Is there anything you think is missing?
Missing link.
is linkage.
Yeah.
It's gear linkage.
I don't think so, you know. Like as in additional stuff, other things they could have done.
Well, just little features, like what... Well, in terms of additions then, actually, what do you make of the sticker detail now being paint on the toy version? Because I like it, but it feels different. Again, like the hands, again, it reminds me more of that artwork, the poster, than the thing. I really like what they've done. I think I lean more toward the anime one now, which is surprising. I thought I would have been the toy one, but there's just something about it, I think, that pops a little bit more.
I will say the anime one is gorgeous. And I fully expected to be a bit, not a bit so-so on the anime one, but I thought it would be the sort of the also-ran, you know, of this of this matchup. I thought it would be like, I would love the vintage toy one and the anime one. I would be kind of like, and also this. And actually, I got the anime one first, so I think that had its chance to kind of really shine, you know, in the sun for a minute until this arrived. And what I found is that I think I love them both equally is the funny thing. And maybe even a slight preference towards the anime one in a weird way, just because I really like the blue eyes. I really like the colors, the sort of, you know, sort of boldness of it and everything. And I thought it would look a bit bare without the painted detail on those molded sections on the arms and feet and places, but it doesn't at all.
So I was going to ask, because I don't have the anime version. So I was going to ask, like, those kind of the differences. So different head sculpt, is that right?
No.
Same head sculpt, but different eye color.
Just different paint.
No retooling whatsoever. Straight up repaint.
Okay, right.
Straight up repaint. But it looks great.
Paint, depending on your...
Yes, a deep paint.
remove. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's been power washed.
I really like the little touch of them having the Autobot badge stamped on the one shoulder of the anime one as well. Just separate it. But it's funny because I really thought I would go straight to the toy styled one over the anime one. And then now I've got them both in hand. I kind of find myself pulling slightly toward the anime one each time to pick it up. And I don't know why that is. I love them both. But if you told me to pick one, I would go with the toy one.
Yeah, same.
And I know it's myself when I go to pick one up. It's the other way around. I pick the anime one up to mess with a little bit more. Maybe it's being less used to seeing it like that.
Yeah, I think absolutely you're onto something with this because I feel a bit the same. Like if I could only choose one of the two to have and own, it would be the toy style one because that's the one, isn't it? But at the same time, in terms of preference of which one would I like to have a little fiddle with, maybe the anime one. Yeah. It's weird.
Just to be really picky, I would really like
Here he comes.
I would like a cell shaded version of this. Oh. You know? Look how cool that would look. That would be amazing. You know, an actual official release of this, cell shaded. That would be great. Proper, like, back to the G1 cartoon.
And oh, just... man. I mean, if we're talking repaints, which we will, there's like a gazillion that I would like. Honestly. Oh,
totally.
Like, bring it on.
But it's a good question, though, Liam, because I'm looking at it going, what would I change? And this is the thing. And maybe I'm just being so forgiving of. Because I love Takara and Hasbro so much, and they've given me what I always wanted. But there's nothing on this that's missing for me, to be completely honest. I enjoy transforming it. I enjoy posing it. I think there's nothing that bothers me as well. And even then... So I know there's a few things
I
for
I have
you.
Some bits.
It's just that there's a bit of nervousness. If I'm going to really pick the sliding out, to get the hips out, that kind of central
point. Yeah, that's
point.
A weird
it's a weird moment. Yeah, and it's just a bit like, oh, this feels a bit scary. But once I've done it, I'm like, okay. And it's actually loosened up quite nicely now as well, so it just takes a bit of work to begin with. What about you, Liam?
Well, do either of you have any criticisms or critiques, things you don't like? I know you said you've forgiven Jason, but is there anything on it that you've been like,
Do you know what I'm like? I'm Mr. I love everything. You know, I love everything.
Until he doesn't.
It's like they've got the full stacks. They've got the full smokestacks on it, you know? And it's like...
I do like a full stack.
A full stack. It's my favourite. Right now, looking at it, no. Happiness is that missing link prime for me.
I think you know where I'm going to go straight away, Sixo. And I think it's the articulation. And it's not that he doesn't have it. It's how it works in some of the places. Like the ratchet joints, this is a very first world picky problem. But as you know...
You were a little bit miffed about that, yeah.
It triggers my dog, the noise. And I know everyone listening is going to go, oh my God, they can't make them for this one person. But the original doesn't have them and it doesn't need them. And where they're added here is in the same articulation spots the original already has. It's not that they've added them to new articulation. It's in the knees and the elbows. And so picking this toy up and moving them like I thought it would move, it was a surprise. And it's a bit like, oh, it's not the same smooth feel that I'm used to. It's click, click, click. Whilst the dog is spinning around Doggy Barco in maniac mode, driving me crazy and piercing my ears. But that was the first thing. I was like, oh, I had this idea of how I was going to pose this toy. That has always been in my head. And that was the first part. It's like, oh, it's not going to move like that. But the other thing that's actually I don't like, and is a bit worse, is how tight some of the joints are, particularly the thigh joints. But then the thigh joints, what they're attached to with the way those hip flaps slide out. They're so thin, those pieces. So it's really hard to manipulate the thighs and the waist meaningfully without having to try and figure out how to hold it. And it's not like something you can just grip very easily. You've got to kind of turn it around to work out where to put your fingers to hold it. Because those two flaps, the way they've done it, it's the only way you could do it, really, for the legs to pull apart, if you know what I mean, that bit.
You've got to figure out where to put your finger in his flaps.
Yeah, yeah. The older Rhinox Terra flaps, you know.
Yeah, there is a bit of that, yeah. There's an effect.
But like the way they swivel out is so tight. And I thought it was just the anime one for me, because I was talking to you and you didn't seem to have the same problem that I did. And everyone else is raving about it. So I thought maybe it's just me. But then when I've got the toy one, I had the exact same thing.
My anime version is easier, actually, I would say. The thigh swivel, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
The first time I did it was like, ooh, do you know what I mean? Like it took a bit of a, you know, a kind of creak, as it were. But now it's fine. But actually, yeah, moving the thighs, rotating the thighs on the toy version is still a little bit scary, I won't lie.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest, I've worked my thighs on my Prime.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
What about the toy, though?
Yeah. And they are moving very freely.
J-thighs.
My J-thigh. J-thigh. And looking at it, so I can see, I can rotate it right out at like nearly 90 degrees.
Is that without holding the crotch there?
Yeah, it looks. I'm just holding him and it rotates really, it's not loose, but it's pivoting fine now.
How is yours doing that? Neither of mine do that.
Yeah, so mine didn't to begin with, I'll be honest. I've worked, it's got chrome all the way around. So there's chrome against chrome inside that bit, which is what's causing friction. Now it has worn. If I looked in there, there's a bit that's kind of going to wear off now, but that's what it needs to do. So it's, I think it's probably when they put it together as well, there'll be a bit of that's slightly fused, because it was when I first opened it. I heard a kind of click as I moved it and I was like, ooh. But now it's moving really freely and really nice.
Okay, I'd love to do it more, but it's that initial thing, like both of mine are so tight and it's kind of scary. And I wonder how many people are going to break that, because I could feel it. Mine, I was like, oh, this could break if I don't do it right. And even then it feels like there's still a chance it could. And it was this kind of like a little bit of disappointment because of, I thought of this toy and I was so excited to pick it up and I was going to move it in these ways. And it's a realization that I can't, because it's things are so tight and it's, I know people are saying it's a collector's thing and all this stuff. It's like, man, I wanted to really just play with it. And
You want to work.
I see it as a toy. You know, the thing, it's a fair point about the ratchets, because it does, you know, Maz's famous run, which you managed to recreate 6-0 in one of your photos. And that was, you know, doing that. And then I did an attempt at that as well. And the ratchets, I'll be honest, I don't know how you did it, because it was
it did
make it harder, you know. I was kind of you know, and that's the thing, it's just like the fluidity of movement, Liam, that you're on about,
that's
a valid point.
I can understand why they put ratchets in. I mean, like on the arms, for example, the elbows, the original is springs, isn't it, and then kind of notches. So I get why they've not done that. I mean, as someone that's taken apart their fair share of G1 primes, I think anybody that had a kid that was a kid and had a G1 Prime, you know, they took apart a G1 Prime at some point. Yeah. I think seemed to be like a rite of passage. Apart from Jason, apparently.
I've never done that. No, never.
Have you not?
No, never.
I had to do one with an Ultra Magnus a couple of years ago, like one of the reissues, and swapped the smokestacks because one had snapped. And I did it, and I opened the arms, and then suddenly noticed the reissue ones, the insides are different.
Oh.
And it was like, it would go in, but, you know, the little sort of spring bits. And it's like, I can't work out where this one's meant to go. It's different.
They do change things internally on these toys sometimes.
It's only Bumblebee that I took apart. That's it. Just the Bumblebee to replace his head.
I was one of those kids that if you gave me a screwdriver, I would want to know how stuff worked. You know,
how does it work?
Exactly. I had to not be left alone with the screwdriver. You know, because otherwise I would just. That's what you do. Take your toys apart. I took a lot of toys apart. Yeah,
you that kid in Toy Story. You know. It's just torturing all his toys.
No.
Sid.
Yes,
Sid.
Thanks. Thanks for that comparison. Great.
These criticisms of mine, they're minor. Like, I really like the toy and that, but I think it was just that kind of initial disappointment that I couldn't just pick it up.
I get it.
Pose it like that. And
I feel
you're saying there about the ratchets and being able to do the run, but like 6-0, we do a lot of photography and stuff, and it's, I always hate ratchets because I want that fine movement. You know, I want to be able to get it exactly as I want to pose it rather than forcing it into one click or another.
I know what you mean. Sometimes the what's the word I'm looking for? The space between the ratchets is not quite enough, is it? It's
one or the other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I do know what you mean. I mean, as I say, I understand why they've done it with like the elbows, for example. The knees, a little bit more kind of like, huh, choice. What a choice. I get why, but I do agree with you that in terms of, again, a tactile experience, it makes it a very different thing to the original. So even though it looks identical, it feels different.
I just thought, because I don't have my G1 original Prime in hand, because my collection is in different places at the moment. But is there a weight difference between...
Someone's not watched my video.
Oh, I haven't. That's true, actually. Sorry. I do subscribe, though.
Busted. No, I'm joking.
They feel very similar here. Like...
There's a slight difference, yeah. I can't remember the exact weight difference. It's not as much as you would imagine, though. In the video, spoiler alert, I weighed a G1 original vintage Optimus Prime, a reissue, I think it was a Chronicle reissue, and the Missing Link. And there was a difference between the three. And I even accounted for taking out like the Matrix thing in the chest and stuff like this to try and make it the same weight. And this one was a couple of grams heavier, but not much.
So, okay, it's not a lot then. Because I was wondering, are the ratchets there because the toy was heavier? So it was like, if we just have friction joints, is it going to be a problem? You know, it's that question. Yeah. Yes, it's an interesting one. But again, why? You know, what was the choice and why? And is it just now that that's an expectation of this kind of toy? Yeah, totally.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe so. Yeah. It's just what people want, I guess. The knees are the ones that get me more than the arms, I think.
Yeah. It's funny as well, because when you mentioned this on our Discord, Liam, and then about it, and then the ratchets for me on, they're not overly clicky for me, particularly in the knees. But yeah, I was kind of, I suppose I don't have a dog that's going to react to it. That's the thing. And my cat couldn't care less. He just looks at me with disdain. So it's just like, you know, how do you feel about it now, though? Is it still a frustration for you?
No, it's just a very minor thing that I prefer it the other way. I prefer smoother joints in general.
Yeah.
And obviously the triggering the dog is a one person in the world problem of mine. But so it's not so much that. It's just the, I don't look at it and pick it up in the same way I would of before, or I hoped I would, because of these things. It's kind of put that off. But aside from that, I think it's great. So
yeah. I think it's interesting that they have changed that, because they've kept so much of the look of it identical. I mean, even things like the Matrix chamber, which, as I said, is removable, such that, you know, the whole chest compartment then is identical to the original.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
You know, things like that. So the ratchets is a weird choice. I think it is. Do you know what we haven't mentioned that it is worth saying at this point? And I meant to say this at the start, which for anybody listening that isn't sure or isn't, you know, is curious, that this isn't a reissue in any way. This is a completely new mold. And maybe that's been gleaned by context by now. I don't know. But I have seen numerous people thinking that this is just a reissue that they've retooled or re-engineered in some way. So
like the way they've stuck to the template there, like even the waist, the ab crunch, sorry.
Yeah.
That's really cleverly done to line up with the joints of the original toy.
It is.
Again, though, really tight joint. I don't know if you both find this really
that is so tight. That's the one that freaks me out. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like a real gadunk, isn't it? I thought, again, that would just be like a friction joint, as you said. But the fact that it's a proper single ratchet, it's a lock into place.
Doesn't it? Proper. Yeah.
There's two stages to it. There's like a click and a click, you know. So, and it's terrifying. It's so terrifying.
Tell you what I am a huge fan of is the shoulders and the way they've hidden the joint.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, that's
so many
cool,
toys,
isn't it?
You can see the shoulder joint or it's done in a way like that. But this, like, it's still mostly flat and it's really clever.
Yeah, it's it's got that little kind of sliver of plastic over the top that curves round its kind of shoulder joint, and it's just really nicely done as well. Just a slight off point, but I just flipped his head round and noticed a rub sign, which I've not interacted with in a long time. And it works a treat.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
It does have a nice rub sign. Yeah.
Yeah. It's perfect. It's
really, brought all of that back. And that's another choice, because again, they could have gone with just a decal or a tempo or whatever, but the fact that they've brought that back is cool.
Proper one.
I think, you know, we talked a bit about, as I recall, in the previous Missing Link episode that we did, about where this line, assuming it is a line, may go. I'm fairly convinced that there will be more of these. I don't think, you know.
Oh, I hope so.
Exactly. I don't think that'll be a big shock if there is. Maybe they'll do a Megatron. Maybe they'll do Carbots.
we talked about all of that then and what they might do, so that speculation hasn't changed. Because they maybe they'll do all the obvious stuff and it'll be Sideswipe, Sunstreaker, Hound, Blue Streak, all of that, or maybe it'll be random stuff. I think I said previously that it might be that they do stuff like Star Saber or something next, something completely like just go for their big names, the Takara big names or something, you don't know.
Yeah.
So it could be anything is the thing. But it's hard to know how they'll choose something that fits this style as well as this prime.
Yeah.
Like even Megatron, and then you get into like Starscream and things like that. It's hard to know how they would do this as well on another mold.
Yeah, and even Megatron going back to gun mode, which now, would they go there? I don't know if they would.
I think so.
You think
Takara,
they would?
Yeah, Takara would, yeah.
Yeah.
Takara would.
Yeah.
Quite happy to, aren't they?
Takara is not such a thing. In Japan, there is control around toy guns and model guns and things like this, but they have specific lines of model guns and stuff.
Which of course. That's true.
There's regulations around them, but it is doable. I mean, it's not been that long. What, 6 years or something? Five years since they did MP36 Plus. So.
Yeah, of course.
And they're always reissued. Well, they were for a while reissuing. Yeah. The G1 toy.
Yeah, they'll do it.
No, you're right, because what other toy suits adding articulation like this?
Exactly.
You could always see from the start years ago, whenever, even when you were a kid, where they could put the joints. Like, you could see what they've done here is above and beyond, but you could still see how they could have quite easily done it. But other toys, they're not suited to it unless...
No.
You're thinking of some of the 88 toys, like the bigger toys, even later toys like Rotorstorm, much later toys, you think, yeah, they could add a shoulder and another hip or something like that, and like the big target masses, you can see that. But then you just go back to the 84, 85 toys, and it's really harder. Difficult to see without major changes. Like the Seekers,
yes, how do you do the arms? You know, the arms are just a block.
I know, totally. It's going to change the transformation so much. And
how do you fit the fists in on the Seekers? How do you have them integrated?
And they love those gloves, they're great. Yeah,
where the legs sit, like where would you put in a thigh joint or knees or things?
Yeah,
there's no spaces for this articulation this time.
Well, the weird thing is with the Seekers, talking about the gloves, is that technically the top of the glove is the elbow.
How does
that work?
That's a good point, actually.
How do you make that work?
There's a funny thing, because with this, it's Optimus Prime, and I'm so happy to see them do it with this, but I'm more excited to see what they do next, because the next one isn't about a character being improved so much as it is about, it's exciting to see how they would do it, how the engineering will have to work, because they're going to have to do something really special with all of them now.
I mean, it could Soundwave would be an easy one.
He lends himself to it.
Yeah.
Soundwave, Blaster, characters like that, they've got the space.
Yeah.
Then we can recreate the UK G1 comic for the first issue, which would be amazing. That would be so cool.
I think I'd be sad if they did Soundwave, because I love the Soundwave toy. But it's reissued so often.
It is.
Yeah.
I've seen it, and I know they can add stuff, and I'm going to buy it, and I will love it. It'll be probably my toy of whatever year that is. But I really want to see
something different,
something they haven't done, something exciting, new, cross a new frontier, new line.
I completely agree. I would love it. Like, again, I'm like you. If it was Soundwave, I'm all in. Great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'd be thinking, it could have been something else. I would love it if it was something that hasn't been reissued. Like if it's a mold that's been lost to time, whether it's through a damaged mold, lost mold, can't work with modern technology mold, whatever it is, I don't know. Like, I'd love it if it was like Wheeljack or something like that, that was just...
Sunstreaker,
exactly.
Yeah, Sunstreaker would be great, yeah.
I think it's going to be Grimlock.
So I was going to say Grimlock is probably a good guess, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they've got to come out the gate, like you were just saying there about Wheeljack and Sunstreak, and it's been somewhat something that's been lost or something we haven't seen in years. Because this toy, when it was first shown, has a wow factor, and it is almost impossible to recapture the wow factor for the second product in any toy line or any merchandising line. So the only way they can do that is by bringing back a character, an icon of some description that nobody has seen in years. And it's hard to think of anything bigger than Grimlock from the G1 toy line that hasn't had a reissue in some way.
Yeah, look at what Robeson have done. That they did Prime, then they've done Grimlock, haven't they? So it's like, it does make sense. And he's a famous character, he's a crowd pleaser, it does fit nicely with it.
And you could see how that one would work as well, I think.
You can.
He's got the space for it, I think, really.
Yeah, it's the elbows that might be the biggest change in a way. But even in the legs, I mean, he even has a little bit of movement in the hips. There's something there already. So, I mean, God, a set of five missing Link Dinobots. Pinch wow. me. Pinch me.
That would be so cool, isn't it? Amazing.
Oh, man.
Finally get
particularly
sweet...
with how fragile the originals are. You know, yeah, exactly. I love my set of original Dinobots, but they are fragile buggers.
Yeah, you so just leave them alone.
yeah, exactly. Just they can sit there. I got my little world's smallest ones as well, my unofficial world's smallest ones, and then this would just be great. Icing on the cake. Yeah, so I would love to see that. I think that would be a good shout, for sure.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
Well, it's that time for the part of the pod where we talk about our sponsor, and that is, as ever, tfsource.com, so you can check them out for all your Transformers and third-party needs. And we're going to do what we always do, which is take a look at their site and see what they've got in stock and available for pre-order right now, and just talk about it a little bit. And it's funny because just when we left off there, talking about Missing Link Prime Convoy, whatever you want to call him, we were discussing about some of the Autobot cars like Sunstreaker and things like this. But assuming that they don't make them in Missing Link style, well, you're sort of covered in another way, aren't you, lads?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So, of course, we are talking about this Autobot multi-pack from Transformers Legacy that is doing the rounds right now. So it's five old Autobot cars. Now released in new style. They're all repaints, though, aren't they? They're just... apart from Hound, actually. Tell a lie.
That's right.
This is the first Hound release.
He's the missing one.
A lot of grief, this one. Because it's a retool of the Siege toy, isn't it? But they've redone it in a more G1 style. And we've seen it for years. Like, it's been leaked. There have been photos of it.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it must be 2-3 years by now. And it's finally popped up here. And because we've had the detritus from it already, haven't we?
Yeah. And, that's right. In the shops.
It's finally popped up here. And it's kind of annoying they've chucked it in this pack, because if you're the sort of person who wants
money
this toy
for one figure,
you've already got all of these other toys.
Yeah, I've seen a few people already trying to split this on the internet.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
How much do people want for the four toys minus the Hound and things like that? So
I will say all of these are, I think, slightly better than the other releases because they've removed the clear plastic.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they look great. You know, it's a set that I want to buy, and it is that shot of all five of them in alt mode recreating the G1 cartoon. It just looks great. Looks so good.
Yeah, really nice photography.
It's weird they've got rid of the clear plastic. Trailbreaker is fine, but the others, like the Jazz, is famous for the windscreen snapping, shattering, and the Sunstreaker had the problem with the clear plastic that the roof was painted a different colour.
Yeah.
The yellow looked completely different to the rest of the toy. And this one looks so much nicer. But it's funny that they've got the Autobot logo in two places now. The badge is on the roof bonnet to try and, because it's got to be on the chest for the robot mode, hasn't it? But in the car mode, it's on the bonnet. So they've done both. And I don't think that's so great. And they've painted where the spoiler would be on the back.
That is a weird one.
That is quite funny. Oh, nice.
Yeah, that is quite strange. Yeah, choices.
Wheeljack, I think, the other one looks better.
Yeah, the car mode here looks a little bit plain. Yeah,
it's a bit plain, isn't it? It's lost its detail and stuff like that. Yeah.
This is the trade-off, though. You know, I think what people sometimes want is cartoon-accurate robot modes and, like, full livery, real-world accurate car modes, you know? And it's like, it's just not doable. And Wheeljack is the ultimate example, I think, because, like, you had this with the Masterpiece toys, you know, where, like, I've gone back and re-got myself the original Masterpiece Wheeljack, you know, with the full livery, because it's such a nice car mode. And it just sits next to my alternative cars because it's just beautiful. Yeah. But I do also like the updated Masterpiece Plus, and it's the same with this anime Wheeljack here as well, the Generations one, in that the robot mode looks exactly like people want it to. It's just never going to get a non-dull car mode out of that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a Jazz as well, still having the wrong number on the side. I can't remember, there's a reason for it, isn't it? It's got 14. There is some reason that they do that.
They changed it, yeah. And not a nefarious reason.
No.
Yeah.
there was rumours about that, I think, wasn't there?
There was, wasn't there?
Suggestion that it was not a good 14, let's
That's
say.
That's right, totally.
No, apparently it's all fine. The Jazz looks good to me. And you know, I have the orange version of this, and it's a really nice toy. But definitely better for not having the clear plastic, I think, on this mold.
Yeah, it's funny because I prefer the look of the original, but I know how fragile it is. So
exactly
on this, definitely a bit better.
It's an interesting one. I wish this had come out a little bit earlier, actually, because we talked on our clear plastic chat, didn't we, when we did that?
Yeah.
It wasn't so long ago.
Yeah.
And we used Rail Racer as the example of like a toy that had both the clear plastic and solid plastic versions, you know, because the Takara has clear plastic, the Hasbro has the solid plastic from 2000, 2001. And this is another great example of that, because there'll be, I've already seen people that are happy for this new set purely because they can rebuy the toys that they already own, but now without the clear plastic.
Yeah.
So there is, and there's definitely an opportunity here. This one of those kind of like robot mode, alt mode displays, as you were saying earlier. And do you know, I'm a total sucker for this toy photography, though, like on the TF Source site. Yeah. It's just, they just look so nice.
You know who it is? He's on Twitter and everything on social media, Shooting the Galaxy.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
Is his handle. Yeah, really, really nice guy as well. Lovely guy. I've chatting to him a little bit behind the scenes and stuff. And super nice, super friendly. Yeah.
There is another bonus for this pack, though, that most people don't seem to be talking about. And it's some of the toys have guns they didn't have. And the previous releases, like Sunstreaker and Wheeljack, have these little rifles here.
Oh, he does, doesn't he? I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Hound has his little G1 cartoon gun, which I don't think his original toy has, because mine's got it, but mine's got the Nonef one. So I think Hound had that rifle, didn't he? Like the Siege toy had a longer rifle with a sort of like a circular bit that could plug into the back.
Is that when they were doing Blast Effects as well? So... I can't remember.
The Siege Hound, I'm sure he has a longer rifle, and it has the, you know, what would be the tire section on the original toy kind of plugs into the back of it at the side to give it like an ammunition drum. So here he's got the actual little thing.
Yeah, his little pipe gun. Yeah, that's cool.
And Trailbreaker is there too.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
I like this Trailbreaker toy. I think it's a decent toy. So it's one of my son's favourites, actually, as well. He really likes this Trailbreaker toy.
No, yeah, the mould is great. I love the mould. Like, I think it's brilliant. It's just this is mostly the same. And I think actually the clear plastic makes the other one a bit better.
It does. The other one looks better. It's the baby blue as well. Maybe they could have gone with a slightly darker blue. I don't know. I guess they've gone sort of for the anime look, don't they?
Yeah, totally.
It's a bit sort of solid baby blue on this, isn't it? But the hand looks really good. And, you know, I get why people are annoyed. They don't want to pay, you know, $100 or whatever this is, $110, you know, for toys they already own.
Yeah.
I also understand why Hasbro have done it that way. I'm not saying they should make a habit of it, but I kind of get it. I don't know. It's a difficult one, isn't it? So, it is weird to see this hound now after so much conversation about it online. For years to finally see it drop in this way is just bizarre.
Yeah.
This is a bit of a gateway set, if you want, as well. You buy that as a gift. You're getting a lot of good robots, a lot of good alt modes in one pack.
Bots for your buck. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Indeed. Which is very cool. And
bots in a box. There you go.
Yeah. Bots in a box.
Bots in a box.
Yeah.
There it is.
That's how they should have branded it. Hasbro should get you on for marketing, Liam, honestly.
Yeah.
Bot box. It's right
Bot box.
Bot box. Yeah. All right. Well, write to BMAC. We'll get him in for some noodles and suggest it to him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Well, check this out. And if you like this, it's still available to pre-order right now, I think. And or there's plenty of other stuff on tfsource.com as well. So do check them out for all your Transformers and third-party needs.
We now return to the Transformers.
Okay, lads. So we have spent ages talking about the core figure. And that is going to be the main thing that people are interested in, because it's so iconic and it looks great. And it's a brilliant toy. But... comes with a fair whack of stuff. And the original toy did come with a trailer, the combat deck with all these extra parts. But there is something that comes included with this toy that isn't from the vintage toy. And it's included with the toy one as well, and that's his Energon axe.
Is that axe? The axe.
And my axe.
Only ever He's appeared
the axe
once.
Man.
Yeah. Exactly. It appeared for that one-minute scene in that one cartoon episode.
And then got knocked into a river.
Yeah, every post-2001 or 2002, whatever it was, Optimus Prime toy has been fated to come with this accessory ever since.
Yep.
It's become more iconic from coming with so many toys than it is from the cartoon where it originated.
It's more famous than Roller, that's the thing.
Yeah, I have to say, though, I went through a big stage where I was so bored with the axe. I was like, I'm just done with
this axe. Just leave in the box or put in a drawer, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, totally. The amount
so many
of them.
Axes, little bag of axes, you know?
Yeah.
to go with your bag of hats.
Yeah, exactly. I really like this axe. I'm into this axe. I think it's cool. I like the way it clips in. I like the little foldy clicky thing
to kind of
secure it in his palm. It's quite a novelty seeing it on this toy as well. I will say, I don't know why it comes with the vintage toy version. It could have just come with the anime version. I mean, I don't mind that it does, but...
I really appreciate the fact it's a different colour. I mean, yes. it's still orange, but it's a different shade. This is more clear, whereas the...
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
The anime one is like a darker orange, isn't it? Or a more sort of vibrant orange.
There's definitely a little bit of a different shade to them, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah. It's strange to me that they did include it with the toy one, because I could see the sort of logic, if you like, at Takara of being like, well, you know, we're going to include it with this one, and the other one's got the trailer, and that might have made sense. But... yeah, equally, I don't mind, as I say, that they have included it, but I think it's a cool thing. I really like the axe on this one.
It is. It's a nice addition. And the Matrix as well.
Yeah, a little Matrix. Like, quite a nice little Matrix.
Yeah, that's just, it's really pretty. Looks great. It's been installed in his chest ever since I got him. And I really like that. It works so nicely.
Again, both different colours.
Yeah, they are different colours. And the chambers are different colours as well on the two toys, which I really appreciate. Which is a
triple
nice
takeover enablement that I'm now going to get the anime version, aren't I?
You're already buying it, Jason. You've already decided to get it.
I'm going to get it.
Whatever. It's worth it.
But these little features, though, like they could have got away with just painting the Matrix like a single color and no one would have really noticed. But the attention to detail is flat. And this is the thing with Takara, like even with the axe, and it's quite a minor difference, but it's a difference. And that's what Takara do. They're always hot on details like that, aren't they?
I agree. They you can tell that there's a real reverence for this stuff in Takara, like a real love. And they get it right. That's the thing. They're such good track record with this stuff. What I will say, and we're inevitably going to come to the trailer, is that the trailer is a bit of an odd one for me. Like talking about holistically about the whole release, and you saying are the bits that you're kind of less 100% enthusiastic about. I would say the trailer for me falls into that category a little bit.
Is that because you've got too many of them as well?
Well, yeah.
Is it because it's an absolute sod to open?
Well, exactly. It's all of these things. I do have a little bit of trailer fatigue, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought that this would be the thing to kind of reignite my passion for the trailer a little bit. And in some senses, it is exactly what it should be, in that it's a recreation of the classic Prime trailer. And it does have some additional functionality, like the fact that the combat deck, you know, the thing can come off. And it's got little wheels on. Roller, you can, you know, mount his gun on there and stuff.
Yeah, kind of a,
yeah, flipping around.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's some cool stuff in there. I really appreciate all of that. But I would have liked the consistency of having molded details instead of stickers. Yeah, and maybe I'm asking a bit too much here. And I appreciate there's budgets and, you know, all of that.
For the kind of detailing on those stickers, though, it would have been really hard. Like,
oh, yeah. So I understand that. And I can look at it and I can objectively and sensibly think, I totally know why they haven't done that. And it's a budgetary thing and it's all of these things. I mean, the level of paint that would have been required to bring that to life is insane. So it totally makes sense to me. I suppose more than that, I wasn't too keen to discover I have to apply some of the decals myself. Like, could have just done without that. I don't know.
I got really excited when I saw the sticker sheet. I was like, yeah, this is great. This is like old school. Will I? No.
Okay, sure.
So is that a thing of like, oh, it's great, it's got stickers, put them back in the bag, put it in the box, you know? That's
why not well. Though why well, definitively yes. No,
so I no, it's not definitively no. I think it's a time thing as well, as you know, I posted on our Discord the other day, I've got a current kind of, I'm building a fort, as you said, with all the boxes that are unopened.
Oh yeah,
so it's kind of getting to the point now. And you know, my Prime trailers do generally get lined up to then become combat decks for other, now that I've got the Micromasters and I've got all the G1. So I think when I get to the point where I get all my collection back together again and I work out how I'm going to display this stuff, you know, I'm going to have, oh, how many different Prime trailers. So it's whether or not I would put this one out on display and then therefore put the stickers on it as well. I don't know yet.
That could be nice. Have this on open on display. I mean, I've talked about it before, but I have two shelves of G1 Optimus Primes. In their vehicle modes, you know, so that all the trailers are there. So like G2, Pepsi, all of this stuff, the Bapes, you know, and they're all pulling the trailers.
He had to flex with that one, didn't he? Oh, the Bapes, you know.
Oh, I could have continued.
You might recognize.
I mean, Shining Magnus is in there. You know, yeah, the Papes. Yeah. Whom you might be familiar with.
Whom?
Yeah. Whom did you notice that the new trailer is a slightly different color to the old ones?
I did. A few people have mentioned
this. Is it lighter?
This. Yeah.
Is it a lighter
yes.
gray?
Yeah. I've got two of the vintage trailers anyway, and I put them together and I just was struck straight away that it's a slightly lighter shade of grey, but it's that kind of more modern grey, you know, where it's
yeah.
it's funny because the original trailer is plastic, but there's something slightly more plasticky about it, and it was a bit like, ooh, real yeah. minor complaint.
Mean. Yeah, it's a strange one. It's a strange one. The trailer, in a way, is less perceptible, the differences between yeah. the vintage trailer and the new one, than Optimus himself.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
even now, just before we started recording, I said to you guys, I'm just going to go and grab the trailer just so I've got it to hand. And walked into the room and genuinely, I mean, it's silly because I knew it wasn't. But as soon as I looked at it, I was like, that is the new one, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's,
totally.
It's hard to tell the difference unless they are side by side.
It's the fact it just doesn't have the holes for a roller to slot into for the mechanism.
Right.
That's the
giveaway.
Yeah.
I was so sad that was removed because mine still works on my
yeah.
on both of
yeah,
my
it does
on
mine as well. Yeah.
That is a shame.
One less so, but one is still like it would take your eye out.
Well, so as talking about taking your eye out, as we were just coming back to talk about this trailer, I shot both missiles halfway across the
yeah.
room. You know, it's so sensitive. And I'm like, that's it
right.
again. You know, wasn't on my original release, but it is on the Takara and one that I've got as well. I love the fact they kept the little dial at the back of it. I've just shot the missile off again.
wow.
The little dial at the back of the radar dish is still there. So you can do the little rotate and all that. So the, you know, just keeping that play value. That again,
yeah.
appreciate that because it doesn't have the stickers on it. It just looked very plain at the moment.
Yeah,
as well.
You need the stickers. You need the Romulan sticker and things like that on there.
Yeah, exactly.
I
yeah.
appreciate the stickers they already pre-apply, but those have a slightly less shiny vibe than the originals. And that I noticed on opening it, I was like, I had to open the others to check. There's like an 80s vibe to the others that's hard to quantify. The shininess yeah. of the stickers.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's not quite the same.
It is different. The trailer, this is going to sound, this is going to sound a little bit dismissive, and I don't mean it to, but the trailer almost has big reissue vibes to me somehow.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's immediately apparent that it's not the old thing. Whereas the toy itself, it's funny because I know I said that actually the difference between the two is more perceptible on the toy than the trailer, but at the same time, the trailer feels more like a new release of the old thing,
yeah.
whereas
because it feels stripped back, I think, without the launcher.
Yeah, and the toy feels like the old thing. That's the it's it's hard to explain, but it is different.
I know exactly what you mean because the toy itself, the Prime, feels like the old toy with added stuff.
Yes.
Whereas the trailer, I know the combat deck can pop out with some serious force and have some little wheels. But that doesn't feel like an addition rather than just a change. Whereas the launcher being removed is something being taken away without being replaced with something in kind.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
It doesn't have the little hose and stuff as well. And that's fine. The hose always breaks on
it
those
does
things.
Have the hose.
No, the
does
hose
have the
is
hose?
In the box. Yeah, it's in the box,
yeah,
in the pack.
Yeah, I missed the hose. Oh, you got the hose. Ah, oh, I thought it didn't.
Parts of the hose.
It's with the missiles and the pegs.
This is one of the cool things about Roller. Did you notice he's got the little flap on the back that flips around, like the Masterpiece?
Yeah.
So he's got the little light, but it hides the port.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I did notice that. Yeah,
that's cool.
After you've built it, I quite like that, the old Gunpla element of
clipping
Roller's wheels together.
This is my memory failing me, but is the cockpit the same? When you open up the top of the cockpit and
I think so.
Is that exactly the same? I don't remember the kind of edging being that wide.
Oh yeah.
Maybe that's just because the sticker's missing on that bit and that's what it is.
It still has magic for me though, this, because as much as we're sitting here being a little bit critical of it and being like, oh, you know, it's a slightly ever so slightly almost imperceptible different shade of grey and I can't believe I've got to apply my own decals. You know, we are being a bit like, you know, men children right now, but
exactly totally.
At the same time, it still holds a magic for me. I mean, I remember being a kid, and I've talked many times on this pod about getting secondhand Optimus Prime with the trailer for the first time, and you know, no fists, all of that, fine, but it was still, that was incredible to me. And I remember staring at the internals of that trailer for hours and just being mesmerized by the little detail, the seats.
Totally.
I didn't know that you could get drivers for the seats at that point, you know, that kind of stuff. It just held this sort of innate just wonder to me, and I do think that this, as much as a recreation, it still has that. magic, yeah. You know?
I agree.
Instantly.
It does.
Taking it out of the box, seeing it again. I've seen it so many times, but there's a magic to Optimus Prime in his trailer. And the trailer does everything it wants to do well. I think it's just that thing when you know something so well and there's something that's not there.
Yes.
And it's not replaced. And particularly when the main part of the toy does have that same vibe of adding new stuff more than taking it away. I think that's all it is at first. But once you put them into truck mode, it's amazing, isn't it? And it's all there.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's great. Yeah, it's so good.
So good. Yeah. That's the thing. I don't feel like being too nitpicky with any of this.
No.
Because I'm so enamored with the overall result. Yeah. I'm so enamored with both versions of it.
Toy of the century.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm so enamored by the fact that they just did this. You know, I'm just totally elated by that.
Yeah, 40 years. What can we do? This. Boom. What a choice. Amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely perfect.
You know, we talked about the fact that it's Masters of the Universe Origins, it's Turtles, all of this as well, and this. It's funny that all these companies have taken nearly 40 years to wake up to the fact that this is what we wanted all along.
Yeah.
They could have just been doing this.
This was Hasbro's strategy and Takara's strategy. It's like, aha.
It's quite an incredible feat, though, to breathe new life and make something so fresh of something that's so iconic. Everybody knows it, and it's such a standard bearer for a toy line. And it's so old as well, you know. It's 40 years old, this toy. Totally.
40 years. Older,
like, if you think about the Diaclone and all that sort of stuff like that. And then you come back to this, and they've just gone, instead of that toy you remember, here's how you actually remember it instead. Mm. And it gives it a whole new lease of life.
I completely agree. Yeah, it really is a wonder. Would you like to see any repaints of this?
Yes.
Oh, well, yeah, the cel-shaded one I mentioned earlier.
Well, 100%. Yeah.
Do it in blue.
Oh,
do it in blue.
That would be nice. But then what, blue with the trailer or blue with a Magnus trailer?
I would take it on its own, like the anime one as well, just blue, like different colours. Like, but I'd really like to see them, because it feels strange to me that they've gone for Optimus Prime first rather than Diaclone, but that's just through being on this podcast and hearing Maz all the time. I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. So I'd like to see him do that, but I thought like a kind of fun way to do it would be to do like a blue cab with the Diaclone trailer. You know, just the, kind of like fuse those two things together to give you something new.
That would be fun.
A homage.
Battle Convoy trailer. Yeah, that would be cool.
What about you?
Oh, man. Literally, name a colour. Name a colour under the sun.
And is it on a shoe?
Put this thing in my hand, you know?
If you could, if they came back with Bape again, would you get Bape versions of a missing link?
I mean...
Would you go down that way again?
I guess being more realistic about it. I mean, I would, yeah. Of course I would. I would.
So would I.
I'm at a stage of my life where I don't sleep on anything that's G1 or G1 adjacent. You know, G1 reissues, all of that. If it's out, I get it. Do you know what I mean? Because I've seen too many things like Fire Guts, God Jinrai, that kind of stuff. Just be passed by. Shining Magnus is another great example. I've learned my lesson. Do you know what I mean?
And I
get this stuff. If I don't want it, I'll move it on later. That's fine. But I get it. And you know, assuming that it's something I'm interested in. That said, Bapes, that kind of stuff, I feel like that's been done. I feel like that was a time and a place.
It would probably be unusual for them to do that, wouldn't it? But,
yeah. It was what we said. We just did the MP10s minisode. You know, masterpiece MP10 repaints. And we said on that, or I think I said, that, you know, like with MP44, when that rolled around, people were like, oh, I guess they're going to do Bapes again. And I guess they're going to do, you know, all the repaints that had already been done, like A Year of the Horse one and whatever. And it's like, well, probably not. No, because they'll do something new with it. And I think there are staple classic repaints for this. Like, I'd be amazed if they don't do a black version. Even though there never has been a black Nemesis Prime as such, just the Jafcon black repaint, which was an Autobot. I would be amazed if they didn't do a Nemesis version. Maybe they'll do a white Ultra Magnus. You know, maybe they'll do some of these kind of classic repaints. They might do a gold one. You know, it did occur to me.
I did think a
gold chrome one.
Yep.
That would be fun to see. You know, all of these sort of classic staples. But then I'd be up for them doing some different stuff as well. Will they do a Pepsi one? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. That'd be cool. I would love a white, the Magnus version with the blue faceplate.
Mm.
That's
but
my Magnus.
But then again, do you get the Magnus trailer with it or not?
Yeah, that's what I'd want. Yeah, exactly. But then it's like, then we have the issue where he can't power combine for his armor because he can't get rid of his fists, you know? So
you have to do something different.
Yeah. I've no idea how you would missing link that trailer, you know? I mean, that's...
Unless you do what they said and they just make it so when you spin it around, he's got holes in his...
How'd you do the legs? How would you do those legs?
That's the part where I can't figure it out. Like, it would have to be a whole new thing to not only just get articulated legs, but legs at all. Because it's a thin, flat piece, really, isn't it? It's a trailer bed.
It's a solid block. Yeah, you can't... Yeah. I mean, I know some we joke about G1 toys being bricks, but that is just... That is a tall brick. There. It's a, it's a brick, but it's also a thin brick, you know? Yeah. I can't genuinely can't see how that would be done.
I would love them to do a Missing Link Ultra Magnus. That's my choice. That's my vote. That's what I want. That would be amazing.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
But yeah, I'm with you, Liam. Just, you know, some cool repaints of this. Well into it, definitely.
Yeah, I buy them all. For my minor little gripes about some of the joints, everything else is just knocks it out of the park. It's a great toy. It's an amazing toy, and toy of the century, easy.
Absolutely, wholeheartedly agree. Yeah,
totally agree. Amazing.
Right, well, I think that's going to about do it for Missing Link Prime. I mean, I say that, I could talk about this thing for hours. Like, we could just keep going into the wee hours, you know, and just keep gassing it, you know?
Well said.
It's amazing. As you said, Liam, it's toy of the century. It's just everything that I could have wanted it to be. So I feel like we've almost got to put a pin in it and come back to it another time, because this line has so much potential as well. Anyway, don't get me started. Look, I'm off again.
We're already off. You're in the second part of a new episode.
Yeah, exactly.
All of that hour and a half.
I'm just monologuing, honestly. But we do have some other bits to do. And, you know, as much as we've enjoyed talking about Missing Link, we also love talking about our Patreon. And boy howdy, it's a great old thing, isn't it? What a wonderful Patreon we have. We've got 5 glorious tiers of stuff. Everything from Apologetic Ramp, where you can sign up and you can get the joy of knowing that you've supported the pod, which is a lovely perk right in itself. Or you can be a man in pig and you can get access to episodes such as this up to, and sometimes even a little bit more than a week early, which is really nice. Or you can become an inner beast and get on our Discord, where it's all popping off. It's the place to be. And there's lots of... making fun of the three of us on there from time to time. We all get our little moment in the spotlight, don't we, for that? And making up names for our Discorders and things like that as well. But it is good. You definitely want to be on the Discord, because it is a lot of fun. We constantly get people telling us what a nice place it is to be. We had some lovely messages just the other week, didn't we, actually, about it, because of the sort of 3-year anniversary. We got a
that
lot
was
of them
so lovely. It's like, for anyone that's ever been to TFN, it's like that. In just a digital form. It's so nice. So nice. Yeah. Such a lovely bunch of people.
Really, really lovely crowd of folks. Yeah, definitely. Then you can sign up as a Six O's Butler and get access to our fortnightly mini-sodes. And, you know, we just told you before that we've done one about MP10 repaints recently. We've done one about voice actors. We've done one about... What else have we done recently? Pretenders. Other stuff. Yeah.
Done loads. That's MP10. Right, done... Did you talk about that? We just said that, didn't you? This...
Yeah.
Yeah, so many.
Yeah, a lot. We've got over 70 minisodes now, which is mad to say, but we've got that many that honestly you could just be listening to that content to your heart's content. But then if you sign up as a Gold Box Classic,
to your heart's content.
Your heart's content.
Yeah, that's it.
That content to your heart's content.
Your heart's content. Yes, content.
Yeah. Content.
Content. Yeah. Content.
It's the content of my heart.
Right. There's something in that.
Of our hearts.
Yeah.
We'll have to... Yeah. You keep rolling with that a little bit. There's something there. But then you can sign up as a Gold Box Classic as well and get access to fortnightly mini-series on a range of ongoing topics. And that does mean that at Gold Box Classics level, you get actually weekly exclusive content, which is pretty awesome, I should say. And these mini-series on a range of topics. We've got the ongoing Titans Return mini-series. We've got Skybound. We've just done one on Skybound. The next part of that, issues 5 and 6 of Transformers Skybound. That's incredible. We've just done one on Tapman, on Masters of the Universe, the film.
Had the power.
That was something.
It was something. Yeah, it was something.
It was something.
Had the tat.
For the tat.
It was definitely, for the tat. Jason talking about little Irish guys.
The wee Irish guys, yeah.
Oh, still the greatest moment.
I haven't got over that yet.
I tell you what, man, editing that episode, putting it together, that line, I must have listened to it about 100 times. And then when I made it into the teaser to put out later, I listened to the teaser even more because I just couldn't stop laughing. Oh, yeah, the crazy little Irish guy. It just kills me every time you said it. And it's the way you listen to both me and Sixo, you can hear us in background just sort of react. And then we're struggling.
Yeah. Jason, God love you.
So good.
Yeah. And there is also a miniseries on IDW's More Than Meets the Eye as well, where we're continuing that. So it's a great set of content.
Skybound. Yeah. Did you mention Skybound?
I did mention Skybound.
That's the reality. There's so much content that it's difficult to keep track. It's brilliant.
Mm. And you know, we might have a little something more on the way soon. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, don't want to say too much right now, but we're working. We're working on something.
You're trying to say, I've got a little something for you.
I am trying to say that, yeah.
Nah.
Absolutely all that, yeah, indeed. Perfectly
done.
But
you never thought you'd get an M&8 reference on you.
I did not. But
I bet you can't even remember M&8.
Not especially, no, not going to lie. But I've come to expect on this podcast that any reference from the last 40 years or more can be thrown at you at any particular time, courtesy of Liam from Toybox Soapbox. So just the way it rolls.
It's a gift.
It? Yeah. But so yeah, major perks on the old Patreon. But we do have some new patrons. Nearly said it wrong, but I didn't. Yeah, we do have some new people, don't we?
Yeah, so we have two new patrons. We have Chris Carnage, who's come in as a Sixos butler. Very warm welcome to Chris. He's been right in there, actually, on the Discord as well. And,
yeah,
getting involved
we said,
in all the channels.
Let there be carnage. And yes,
literally right there, exactly. And we also have a new member coming in, Koi, who's coming at a Gold Box Classic level as well. Very warm welcome to Koi. Good to have you with us.
Hello.
So,
yeah, lovely to hello have there. You guys with us. That's good. That's, yeah, you're getting better. That's it.
Yeah, even better, yeah.
And we also have the added bonus of our patrons being able to ask us some questions. So we have three questions tonight, guys. So we'll dive straight in, right? We've got, we mentioned them earlier, our good friend Josh Bell, he sent this question. So I've got a question for the pod. If you were to be put in charge of putting together the second installment of the eHobby GoBot set, which mini-bots would you use and what colours would you have them in?
It was at this point that I remembered I was supposed to think about this earlier.
And yeah, well, there we go.
A really good idea.
Frantically thinking. So
I've got one.
Go for it.
Red Beachcomber.
Nice. Yeah.
Because there is a KO of this out there. I have it. I think quite well-known KO, but equally, whenever you post a picture of it, people are like, what is that Red Beachcomber? And the logic for this is twofold, because all of the eHobby GoBots, or a lot of them, were based off a Takara catalog picture from years ago, from the vintage era, with a lot of weirdly colored mini bots in the picture. And then they did this eHobby set where they basically took those old mini bot recolors. So, like the white bumblebee,
paragliding gray and red.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm trying to remember now. I've got the set and I'm trying to remember what the colours are. But they basically took them and they turned them into GoBots. You know, they gave them the identities of GoBot characters that kind of matched up with their alt modes and things like this. But there was a comic of this as well. And in the comic, the Red Beachcomber, which is also, if memory serves, in that catalogue image, was in this comic as the character Buggyman. Mm-hmm. And he's a bad guy. One of the bad GoBots. What are they called, the bad GoBots?
Bobots. I made that up.
I remember there was Psycho.
Yeah. They've got a name, though. Faction name.
The Renegades.
The Renegades.
Well,
Thank you. My God.
You just beat me to it. Yeah, nice.
You're doing that quiz thing again where you're like, I knew this.
No, I've got my database up. I'm looking at the box of Destroyer.
Sure.
Yeah, too slow.
Sure.
Too slow.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah. I nearly said it.
So close. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Oh. The Renegades. There you go. So he's a Renegade. Buggyman is a Renegade. So, I just think it'd be cool. The Red Beachcomber, bring it back as an official thing, but as Buggyman.
Nice. That's a good one. Like that. What about you, Liam?
I would take Wheelie.
Ugh.
And melt
and
him down.
Him into
shave his face off.
Make him even... Delete him from history. No, I would either make him red, so he could be like Scooter. Do you remember Scooter?
Okay.
From the
that's cool. That's cool.
Or... So black and red with a bit of silver. So it could be like, I can't remember what that GoBot's called. It's like that kind of futuristic space car one. The kind of cool looking GoBot toy.
That could be a lot of ones, couldn't it, as well?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called. But whatever that guy was called.
Futuristic. Yeah.
I keep on saying Baron von Killjoy or whatever, but I think that was a different car.
No, Baron von Joy is like silver and red Porsche.
The larger thing.
No, it's not him.
Oh, you mean Psycho? There's Vamp. He was the alien one as well, though.
Vamp is the kind of alien-looking one. Yeah,
yeah, he's cool. Was he a vehicle? Is it a vehicle, the Liam?
Yeah, it's like a... hang on. Give me
could
one.
Be Zemon, but he's not that kind of...
Serious GoBot research going on.
Oh, look at this. I'm just looking at all my GoBots. Like I've got so many.
What's it called, man? There's like a big sort of flying car.
That's Psycho. This guy.
Yeah, that's the dude.
Yeah, Psycho.
Okay, so GoBot Psycho.
Yeah, that's cool. That would be very cool. It's silver, red, and black. Yeah, nice color scheme. For me, I was going right in there. I want pipes, Outback, sea Osprey, and Cliff Jumper, and Beachcomber. And I want them in like all the kind of different colors from Psykill. And so he's got like, you got your blue, your silver, your red, and Stax. If you remember him, he was like a crazy, massive guy, truck guy. And then Vamp, who's got like the quite luminous red eyes and all that. I just like a total eclectic mix of colors on them. But
so you'd like a total eclectic mix of the heart?
No, I was just going to make that joke. You're not going to believe it. I was like, should I?
Liam's cutting in.
There we go.
Wow.
It's incredible. So, it's like we planned it. It's like we scripted that.
Oh, man. When you started saying it, I was like, I can't believe this is happening straight away.
I saw your horrified face like you were dead like...
Oh, man.
No.
Exactly.
I thought you were telling me you can't make a Bonnie Tyler reference. You've done something terrible.
Yeah, well, you never know. But I just couldn't believe that you and I both hit on the same crap pun. I can believe it. What am I saying?
Like, yeah, I feel like the thing we often do is quite similar.
Exactly. It's not that shocking,
too good.
Is it?
Too good.
Yeah. I'm kind of into this repainted Minibots lark now.
Me too.
Cool. I will say... I feel like we need to do something on GoBots properly at some point because it's cool.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
Liam's pulling a face. He's growling again.
Would that come under
I've owned a lot of them and I didn't enjoy most of them.
I still have loads. Ooh, yeah.
I'm controversial. We're going to get angry letters, Liam. We're going to get angry emails, angry DMs.
Go buy something from Redbubble and then you can get your email read out.
Right. Okay. Sure. I like GoBots. I will admit my GoBots knowledge is not top tier. Hence, can't remember the name of the Renegades, but you know.
So I own a lot of them, but I can't remember. I was actually, we can talk about that. I have a story there as well, but Combiner GoBots. But we'll come back to that because we have a question two team as well, which is from the one and only Laserbeak, who emphasized the "er" there, didn't I? Should be.
Yeah, I was going to say there was sort of meant to emphasize the "zer." I think
the "zer," exactly. Ahoy. Is that ahoy? Oh, ahoy, ahoy, actually.
Ahoy.
It's been a while since I've submitted a question for the pod, and one has come to mind I think would be fun to explore. You've just been given the opportunity to develop a new Transformers film with complete creative control. What direction can you see yourself taking it, and would it be live action or animated? Thanks for your time. Viva Triple Takeover. Thanks, Laserbeak.
It's funny because we just did our mini-sode. There's another mini-sode we've just done on Bumblebee alt modes from the movie. Alt modes. Liam, I feel like I know what your answer for this is going to be.
Oh, go on. Tell me. I'm intrigued.
You'd just do that Cybertron sequence in a 2-hour movie, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you're right. That's your film. Just extend that. Make it longer. Chuck in some 88 characters. Give us them guys.
I mean, that would certainly be something to see. So what about you, Jason?
I'd love an origin story for Starscream. That's what I'd like. I'd like a really... So thinking similar vein to like your Wolverine and like a heavily character-led, you know, a properly scripted Transformers movie that has really deep characterization to it, that you're following Starscream from, you know, where they started to... And it could be, you know... The obvious one there is you could take Prime and his journey, but that's been done so much within the comics and stuff. I thought it'd be really interesting to take not that Starscream's a lesser character, but, you know, that would be really interesting for me, I feel. I think that'd be a lot of fun. And I'd love to see that as a live action. So, you know, and the kind of director that, you know, you wouldn't normally expect to be connected to a Transformers franchise as well. So that it was more kind of cerebral, shall I say.
So not Michael Bay then?
Yeah, the complete opposite of Michael Bay, to be honest. That's where I'm going. Yeah, I'd like to see a bit more depth and a bit more
character. I'm with you, to be honest. My answer was going to be that I would like it to be, whether it's kind of classic 84 cast or whatever it is, I would like to see them go a little bit smaller stakes with it, you know, and kind of bring back the robots in disguise element of it because I, to be honest, I get a bit tired of the stakes always being world ending. You know, I was pumped for seeing Unicron in Rise of the Beast, but at the same time, you know, there was a kind of element with the Michael Bay films where it was like, doesn't always have to be this big. You know, Transformers historically has often been at its best where the stakes can be big, but they can also be quite small and quite intimate, you know, and a bit...
And emotional.
You know? Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to say a lighter adventure, but still, you know, Bumblebee did that quite well, I think. And I think there was something that movie tapped into that a lot of people appreciated. And I think you could do that with a larger cast. So keep the robots in disguise element, make that a bit more of a kind of mysterious thing, keep it lower stakes, kind of set in a smaller location or whatever it might
be. Let them fight a freaking car wash or something.
Yeah, right.
Planet. So, something a bit, car wash.
A bit goofy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I'd be into that. That would be fine. I kind of agree with you. You know, have Optimus Prime in it, maybe, but he doesn't have to be the main character. Like, no. I think there's something to having Optimus kind of almost in the background a little bit and kind of put someone else sort of more front and center.
Trader turns into a car wash.
Maybe so. You've got a real thing about this car wash lark now. That's like,
Good classic.
You know, the car wash of
classic
Doom.
Car wash of Doom.
That's what it is. Yeah, exactly.
It's all about being at the car wash.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll give Laserbeak a little extra as well, because there was a flip to this where I was like, you know, the Lego movie and what they did and how they just really went for the Lego franchise within a movie. I did think it's like, God, imagine if you just got all the toys and just made that into a kind of movie as well, which would just be really cute and really fun. But it's kind of been done. So yeah, it's
that's a long robot chicken.
It would be, yeah. That's so true. Okay, last question. This is from Robin Hunt, who's asked us, with Studio Series branching into the gaming world, do you think we have any hope for cel-shaded designs based on Transformers Devastation?
Before we answer this, I do just want to acknowledge that Robin actually submitted this question some time ago.
Yeah,
so I think it's only fair to say a little while ago. Might have fell down the back of the sofa, this one, and we've just sort of unearthed it.
Sorry, Robin.
Apologies for that, Robin. It is a great question. It just, there's a list, and this one sort of got bumped down a little bit, but we're here to do it now. So
yeah, it's true.
But I will just say they have done them. We already had them. We had Optimus Prime and Megatron with the soul shaded colors. God, it was the Siege ones ages ago.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they were very pretty as well.
Yeah, so they have done some, whether they'll do the others.
So yeah, the short version of this is, just like I was saying about Missing Link Prime, I'm a total sucker for cel shaded stuff, and normally it is the only way you can get them is if they were custom done. But then it was actually watching one of your YouTube videos, 6-0, and Transform Element did OP Leader Anime Edition. Which is third party cel shaded Prime, which is just beautiful. So I'd love to see more of these, and for the game, I think that'd be amazing.
Hasbro are doing the comic ones now as well, aren't they, with Shockwave and Grimlock, so it won't surprise me to see them circle back with, like, what, who was in the game? Devastation, Sideswipe, Bumblebee, Grimlock was in there.
This might shock you, but I've not played it.
go on.
I don't know.
Do it. Say the line. What's the line?
You want me to do? Maybe I won't say the line. Maybe I'll leave you hanging.
One of your three catchphrases, as we discussed earlier.
Yeah, exactly. That stunned me rigid. I did notice that 100% wasn't on there, though.
No. I feel like that's the fourth, isn't it?
Right. The fourth unofficial catchphrase. Do you know, it's funny. I've never actually seen a cel-shaded figure myself up close. Never seen one. Lots of pictures of them, obviously, it still blows my brain a little bit. I think I've maybe seen them at like conventions from a distance, you know, or like in a cabinet somewhere in shops, but never actually handled one and fiddled with it. So
I imagine it's quite difficult to get both modes, isn't it? Like, because if you cel shade it for the robot, when you turn it into a truck or a car or whatever, it's going to look weird. So a lot of the ones you see, the customs, are mainly just to stay in one mode because those paint apps won't line up in the opposite.
That makes sense.
The Transform Element one is stunning, but it is masterpiece scale. So it does. Yeah. It has enough panels to be able to make it work. But you're right, Liam. At a smaller scale, it'd be a bit tricky. So it's such a nice look, though.
But they did do those two Siege ones ages ago. So
yeah,
they have dabbled.
Yeah, I did want to pick those up, but I could never find them. It was always, I'll grab it if it's in the shop kind of thing, but I didn't.
Mm.
So thank you all for your questions. That was wonderful.
It was indeed. Keep them coming.
Mm. Yeah, please do. That's it.
Yeah, and if you want even more Triple Takeover, you can wear Triple Takeover, or, you know, you can carry Triple Takeover. But ooh. I did have a message from somebody asking for a very odd set of items, you know.
Really? It says,
yeah, yeah. So we had a Monty from Montreal asked if, you know, we did like a snowshoes with Triple Takeover stuff. And I was like, no, dude, but if you head over to rebel.com/people/triple takeover/explore, man, you can get some good stuff for your holidays. Get out of that snow. Go down south somewhere, you know, go see the sunshine, get a t-shirt and all that, Monty. So, yeah, go do that.
Good advice.
But I'll ask Sixo about the snowshoes, but I don't think that's really a Redbubble product.
No.
Is it Sixo? Just,
I can't believe I said earlier that you were made for marketing, honestly. Oh, dear. Never change, Liam, please. Yeah. Honestly.
You could just make them white with a little kind of blue triangle. There's Ultra Magnus on the front of them. That's your snowshoes.
Do I need to actually clarify that we don't do snowshoes? Is that
good point.
Something that needs to happen?
Oh, do we not? Oh, well, no. I didn't think we did.
Sorry, Monty.
That's what I said.
We don't.
As far as direction to the sunwear, sun leisure section.
Sun leisure.
Good God. There are going to be people that listen to this podcast that have probably never looked at our Redbubble that are like, do you think they do some of this stuff?
Yeah, go and have a look, everyone. That's a good idea.
It's like a Sports Direct.
Exactly.
But so head over to our Redbubble to see lots of Sixo's fantastic designs all over many different products. And if you've got Missing Link Convoy/Optimus Prime and you want to talk about it with us, then hit us up on social media. You can find us up on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, and Facebook. And also do go and check out our YouTube channel and give it a follow, because there might be something popping up there someday in the future that we cannot specify right now.
Yeah, it's worth a sub.
It's worth a sub. Always.
It's worth a sub.
Yeah. A sub or an upside down shockwave.
An upside down shortwave. Yeah, give us that. Whichever but, one.
Guys, Sixo, where can they find you? Well, I can be found on YouTube and all these other places. Jason, what about you?
That was good.
Perfect.
Perfect.
I don't feel the need to contend that, to contest that at all. That's perfect.
I'm at jswags.com. That's where I exist on the internet.
And obviously, go give Sixo a follow on Instagram, Twitter, and all those places where you probably already follow me already, but, you know, go and have a look. Whereas I can be found at Toybot Soapbox. Anyway, there's an at.
Nice. Officially.
Officially.
He's going to register that. That's what he's going to
do. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's going to trademark it.
That's it. Done.
I'm waiting for my response from the trademark office at the moment.
He'll hit me with an injunction.
Cease and desist. That's it.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, it's been great fun talking about this toy. It's funny to still look at it and think that it's here, isn't it? It's, you know, 40 years in the making, and we've lived and dreamed this hype now for a good while as well. So actually having this thing in hand, talking about it, we've all got both versions of it. Jason will soon anyway.
I will, and this weekend.
Yeah, we know. And it's just terrific, absolutely terrific thing. So if you are still on the fence and you're not yet convinced, hopefully we've nudged you one way or another, I don't know. But whatever the case, it's a truly monumental thing, and I can't wait to see where this line goes next. But until then, thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
So I'll be honest, I've worked my thighs.